I'm talking to Carmen Reynolds. And Carmen Reynolds is somebody who's been on the show before. She's going to be here again. But Carmen Reynolds, she's kind of like your proverbial concerned citizen. And it's, I think what happens is when you get a bone to pick and you pick it and you realize there are things that need to be dealt with, it inspires you to press on smartly because you have the chutzpah to do it. And this is my Faith and Freedom show for the Liberty Works Radio Network, 104.3 FM. And my little advertisement is not kicking in and forcing me off the air, because so I'm going to press on, especially since I'm recording this interview digitally and I can play it back anytime I like. So this is good stuff. Now, Carmen, I will tell you that I saw something it was on the internet, and it was an interview with one of the guys. He's in his, I guess he's probably maybe young 70s, late 60s at the youngest. And he was one of the guys who was developing and in, I'd say, competition over marketing and I guess the current, what do you call it, polio vaccine?
And,
okay. And so what happens is he's talking about this, and it's on the internet. I'll have to check it out and find it. And they're interviewing him. He's talking about what they did, how they were, his company was going to have a dead vaccine or dead virus or whatever it is, because they were going to be, they kill it with all the formalin and all that other kind of weird stuff. And then there was another company that was doing the live vaccine, which, of course, you're only being exposed to the deadly virus itself, but you're not being exposed to all these other chemicals that would, you know, basically send your autoimmune system into a frenzy.
Right, and that's the nasal spray mist that you're talking about, manufactured by a company called MedImmune that has the live virus in it.
Okay, now that's with regard to H1N1, but these guys were, this guy was up high in the big pharma for the last many decades, and he mentioned that in the virus that they were, I think he was talking about rubella in particular, he said that when they were basically working on that virus and isolating it and try to make a vaccine for it, he said they were getting it from these green monkeys. And he said, we found out later that we brought in the AIDS virus. The guy said it right there. And he was the guy that was doing it. And he said, well, you know, clumsy us. He said, sometimes you get all kinds of viruses. Yeah, in fact, we found out later we had the AIDS virus. That's how we got the AIDS virus here.
Exactly. And I believe his name was Dr. Hilleman.
I'll check that out.
Hilleman. And it's interesting that you bring that up. That vaccine was grown on the kidneys of monkeys. And they didn't realize until there were pediatric cancers that were showing up, three main ones in the children, brain cancers, bone cancers, and mesothelioma, which is a lethal, fast-moving lung cancer normally associated with asbestos.
Right. Asbestosis.
Exposure.
Right.
And when they started studying this, they found in the tissues of these children a unique monkey virus that they called simian virus 40, SV40. And what this virus, this monkey virus produced in human beings that got this polio vaccine was cancers. And this is the big deal, that cancer was transmitted by virtue of the polio vaccine into the human population, and sometimes it gave the children cancer, and if the person lived to be an adult and he didn't get the cancer, he might have given it to his offspring in the actual genetic tissues, or given it to his wife, or the wife give it to the husband with bodily fluid exchange. And that is what they're correlating now to the 1 in 4 cancer rates, exorbitant 25% possibilities of getting cancer now, because it's been sitting in the bloodstream since the 60s when the polio vaccine was fielded.
Well, and it could be attributed to a whole bunch of other things. One thing that I think we'll never figure out with this great, marvelous industrial age that we're in, especially in America and all the innovations, there's a whole lot of things I think we're doing that we'll never really figure out what effect it's had. There's been benefits, but I think obviously there's toxins in some of the things that we're doing to benefit our lives. And I, you know, I think some of it's got to be affected by all kinds of things. And I think no doubt there's things that are happening with vaccines that people are dismissing as nah. Like, I'll give you an example. My daughter, I won't tell you which college, but she was, the people at her college were told, if you get a flu, report it as H1N1. No tests. If they get flu, report it as H1N1. Now, what is going on with that? You see, in other words, there are things that are being manipulated. Whatever stats you see very well may not have any basis in truth. You know, when they run out a statistic, just the fact that it's there shows you that you might want to ignore it because it's leaving out a whole lot of information.
Right. They dispensed with categorizing and doing the testing for the swine flu in July. And CBS News, in their three-month-long study, came out with the fact that, as you're saying, there are a lot of false positives. How do they really know that the stats are where they are when they dispensed with even the validation testing in July? They would not, the CDC and the World Health Organization would not come forward with any figures according to the state, you know, state by state. So therefore, CBS went themselves to each state and found that what they thought, or what they were reporting as H1N1 swine flu virus, was not even what they were reporting it as. So,
I mean, what happens is it leads in many cases to hysteria. The difficult thing in the world we live in, you wish everybody would just very in good faith do the math, get the statistics, get the facts. Don't be persuaded before you basically do the bean count. But we're not seeing that. In some cases, we have this thing that would lead to hysteria that's not required. And in other cases, not allowed you to get access to information that would tell you, hey, you know, maybe what the bill of goods are telling me is something I really don't want to be included on. And that has to do with this vaccine. So that, there's, you know, you must be hysterical about this disease and take this vaccine. Don't be hysterical about the potential catastrophe that'll happen in your life over the vaccine. I just had a call with a talk with a guy today whose wife, I don't want to exploit friends of mine, so we won't go in too much detail. She's got an autoimmune system problem where her body is eating itself up. And the medicine costs $30,000 and the treatment is something like $3,000 a day or something like that. And just for a few hours of treatment. So then you've got an insurance company deciding whether or not her doctor is allowed to have his people do what he knows needs to be done. That's insane. So there's a lot of really, just manipulation. I think we've lost sight of the value of life. And I think I'm going to go back to my religious perspective, is if we have forgotten and refused to understand that there is a creator who is going to hold us accountable, we have a tendency to just, as a society, do whatever we feel like doing.
Well, exactly. And I have an example of that. In that CBS 3 month study that was just concluded, they found that 3 out of 5 FDA advisory committee members who voted to approve the rotavirus vaccine in 1997 had financial ties to the pharmaceutical companies that were developing different versions of the vaccines. 4 out of 8 CDC advisory committee members had conflicts of interest, and they're supposed to sign these forms and in waiver forms as to their conflict of interest. And in many cases, they were waived, and they allowed them to sit on not only the pharmaceutical company boards, but the advisory committee boards of the FDA and the CDC. So we're back to, you know, lack of conscience and corruption again.
Wow. Hey, I'm concerned about something, and we've got about 10 more minutes till the next break. But how are you doing? You said you had a throat issue. What is that?
Well, I've just been under great stress with this case. I have a father who is totally handicapped, blind, basically a vegetable from Agent Orange toxicity in Vietnam exposure, a lot of neurological damage, and I've been his sole caregiver for a decade. Mm. So there were some things going on with that. Very active in the community, and this what's going on with this virus and this swine flu weighs very heavily on my mind. And I have an autoimmune disease, which means I basically catch everything that's going around, and that's the reason that I can't easily go into quarantine, and I can't easily get another vaccine because of the toxins that are within the vaccine that we can go into that could further harm my very weakened condition.
Wow. Hey, well, actually, the reason I got you here today originally was I wanted to talk about this Florida transportation issue.
Yeah, isn't that just unique? Another way to squeeze us out of some money.
Now, how are you involved with what's going on there? I see that you and some of your friends have communicated with the transportation department, but what is it specifically that you are doing?
Well, trying to get some visibility and awareness on this issue, in that they were doing it again surreptitiously. We were alerted to this by a state committee man that is involved in politics in the state, and he just happened to send us a little blurb out of an article that was buried in a technical digest that the state of Florida, the District 5 secretary, her name is Norianne Downs, is advocating that we mandatorily be made to place a GPS system in our cars and be charged for vehicle miles traveled on every mile we travel in our cars as a way to make up for the loss in the gasoline taxes because people are driving less.
Wow. Now, what's your take on that?
I think it's an outrage. I do not accept it. I think I called her to let her know that I did not agree with this. She did not know that she resisted and said that it was just something that they were bouncing back and forth and put in their toolbox of possibilities. She never took ownership of the fact that this was her idea until I actually got the whole article yesterday and see that this is a position she is taking.
Wow. Now, who is this? The person's
name? She's the District 5 Florida Department of Transportation Secretary. District 5 is up in Northwest Florida.
Okay.
She is advocating this for implementation in the entire state. And her name is Norianne Downs. So N-O-R-E-A-N-N Downs. And I have her phone number. But, you know, the state of Illinois was able to turn this around in 24 hours. As soon as they sent up the trial balloon that they intended to implement this in Chicago, within 24 hours, the people were so outraged that they not only took it off the table, they buried it until they can try to scoot it through again.
Well,
this is exactly what needs to happen in the state of Florida. I hope some of your listeners are driving in their cars right now hearing this.
Well, I talked to a senator in Virginia just a year ago about this, and he brought that up. And I let it go because it wasn't what I was interviewing him about. But so in other words, when they say my plan, and this is one of the things I say in my show, whenever you hear the term my plan is such and such, it's actually not a personal pronoun. It's a proper noun. There's an evil Dr. Mai of the organization Chaos someplace in the planet telling these people what their plan is. You know, and I'm saying that in a goofy way, but I hear President Obama today saying what his plan is. And I saw President Sarkozy of France saying it, you know, a decade ago. So and they're saying the same story. So what you're seeing is somebody's got a plan. And what they're doing is they communicate it to those people who are in a bureaucracy or who are elected. And they attack it from every angle, and it's going to be implemented. And for somebody's benefit, I don't know if it's yours. I don't think so.